Just before I start off, just want to say what a blessing it was to have Brother Buddy over for the last few days, last week. You know, it was good to just have someone come over, someone that's just so on fire for God, someone that's just so uplifting. He just has a genuine kindness and gentleness about him, and he's really see the fervent spirit and fire that he has for God. It comes out through his singing, comes out through his preaching, and just through his very personality, you know. So it was great for me to have him over here this time again. You know, when he last came over in 2009, I was only saved a few months, and he was probably wasted on me at that time, I think. You know, I don't think I really truly understood what revival meant and how important it is for the Christian to experience it every week, even, you know what I mean, but especially at least once a year, you know. And it was just a blessing for me personally for him to be over here. And I wasn't supposed to be up here tonight. Dan was supposed to be up here, you know. It wasn't part of our plan to have Buddy come over and bust up his leg playing golf. But hey, you know, God's will, that's the way it works out. You know, maybe God wanted Dan to take a rest. You know, he's been doing a lot of work over the last couple of months, so if he can, you know, stay at home and live it up for a week or two until he gets back into it, you know. But do pray for him, because he's still working a lot on, you know, the Bible study and just even a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in the church office. You know, the running of the church, you know, leaflets getting handed out, callbacks getting sorted out, you know, different preachers that are going to be down different times, you know. Dan is sorting all that stuff out. So he still needs his prayer. He's not going to be doing nothing at home. He's got his laptop and he's going to be working, alright? Alright, so let's get started. So this month we've been learning to live by faith. You know, as you saw there, the memory verse for this month, Galatians 3:11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident for the just to live by faith. And that's what we've been looking at this month, just simply how the Christian lives by faith. And every Wednesday, John alluded to this already, but every Wednesday we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and just God's roll call of different characters in the Bible that did things by faith. You know, we've seen that by faith, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We've seen by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark in the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In the approach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had received the recompense of the Hebrews 11:24-26. So you can see there that that's just a few examples of what we're learning every Wednesday, what we've been learning for the last few months, just on how the Christian and how the follower of Christ can accomplish great things just by faith. By faith, you know. And it's good, you know, it's good to be faithful when the things are going good. It's easy to be faithful when the things are going good. But what about when the trials come along? You know, what about the times when we are in a valley and swimming upstream? You know, what about the days where we possibly don't want to get out of bed because we don't want to face another day? Now, I haven't been in one of those situations yet, thankfully. You know, every day is peachy in my life so far. But that doesn't mean that those days aren't going to come. And I know some of you in your lives, those days probably have come. You've probably had multiple days like that. And, you know, many other Christians around the world, you know, you're going to have some days where you just don't know if you're going to be able to get through. And when our faith in that faith is tested, it can be hard. You know, sometimes the Christian life can simply just be plain old difficult at times. You know, God never said it was going to be easy. And as difficult as the trial may be, it is still possible to be faithful, though, and to remain faithful through the trial. Mark 10:27, Jesus says, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, God, for with God all things are possible. So you can see there that what might be difficult for us, what might be difficult for man, it's not difficult in the eyes of God. You know, in his hands he can do everything. So we just need to learn from God's word that we can get through these trials and we can remain and be faithful through the trials when they come into our life. So tonight I just want to look at how the Christian can stay faithful through the trials in our Christian life. So just let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you now for this time, God. We thank you for Just another time, just another chance to meet together, Lord, just to worship you and to study your word, God. I pray that you just teach us new things now tonight, God, and just fill us with your Holy Spirit and just give us some comfort, God. Teach us, Lord, how we can be faithful, God, and just even in the midst of trials and difficult times, Lord, that we can still just look to you and still glorify you, God, and you'll get us through there, God. Father, we pray you just bless the rest of the day, Lord, and bless our fellowship in this preaching time, God. Help me just to speak your word. And we just pray that you bless us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just want to open your Bibles and turn to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. And I'll just read a few verses here. Verse 1, chapter 22 says, "And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering upon Isaac his son, and he took the spear in his hand and the knife, and they both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So here, just by way of background and context, God had promised Abraham a son. He had promised Isaac years before this. And Abraham had to wait a lengthy period of time before God fulfilled that promise. Abraham had already been tested by God through that waiting time, through that time where Abraham had to wait on God to fulfill that promise of a son from God, of Isaac. And finally, after the years of waiting, God delivered on his promise and Isaac was born. And Abraham had come through that trial and he was happy. Isaac was a real blessing from God in his life. But here in Genesis chapter 22, we find Abraham is being tested again. He's being put through another trial. God commands Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, even after all the years that Abraham had to wait for Isaac in the first place. Now, Abraham is just about to enter into another really testing period. We can just picture, if you put yourself in Abraham's shoes, you know, he spent years and years waiting for this promise of a son to come along. You know, putting his faith in God. And yeah, during that trial, he did slip up a few times. You know, he had lost faith, but he still tried to wait it out. And eventually, when God fulfilled that promise, you know, he saw the light at the end of the tunnel. He had Isaac now. He had Isaac. He had this son. And for years, for like 20 years after that, he was able to watch Isaac grow and be with him and enjoy that blessing that God has given him. So Isaac was a really important person in Abraham's life. You know, he meant everything to him. And now here comes God, and he's commanding Abraham, okay, that the son that I gave you, I want you to give him back to me now. I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham was going to enter in a really testing period of his life. And Abraham was faithful through this trial, however. Here in Genesis chapter 22, we can see that Abraham was faithful through this trial as well. And just to give some, I suppose, understanding about trials, you know, some truths about trials and their purpose. You know, the truth about trials is that trials will come. You know, they will come into your life. God will tempt you. You can see there in Genesis 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham. And this wasn't the first time that God had tempted Abraham. See here that in the life of the Christian, there are times when God will tempt you. He will test you. He'll try you. That's what tempt means. To test you, to prove you, to see if you're really what you say you are, to see if you're really trusting God. If you're really a child of God, he's going to test you. So they will come. You might as well just pencil it down at some point. You mightn't have went through them yet, but they're going to come at some point. And God uses trials and tests to show us where our faith currently is. That's the purpose of a trial. Is you say, you know, if we say we love God, we say that we want to do His every will, but then when it comes to it and he asks us to do something as hard as giving his only son, will we do it? It's in trials like that that shows you where your faith really is and how strong it really is. You know, who are you placing first in your heart? God or the possessions in your life, your children, your family? And that's what here to Abraham is he wanted to test Abraham to see, are you really there yet, Abraham? Are you really walking with me and are you really putting me first in your life, or are you still clicking on to things in your own life? And trials are there to perfect us and to refine us. Just like the fire refines gold. You know, when the gold goes through a process, it gets heated up really quickly. The heating process forces all of the impurities of the gold to raise to the top. And then they would scrape it off and let it cool down, and they would repeat that process 7 times, and each time more impurities are taken off, and at the end of it you're left with a purer form of gold, a more precious form of gold. And that's what the refiner's fire is. That's what trials are. It's to perfect and to refine us. It's there to take out the stuff that's not good in us. It's there to take out the stuff that's holding us back, that's corrupting us as Christians, and to take it out, dump it, so that afterwards we're left a more pure form of Christian, a more perfect being in God's eyes. So that's what the trials are for. And 1 Peter 1:7 says that exactly. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. After all these trials, you know, by the time Jesus comes back, we can only pray that through these trials that Jesus will find us better Christians than when we were when we first got saved. You know, next year I should be a better Christian than I am right now. If I'm growing in the Lord, I should be better. If I'm not better, then I haven't gone forward. And if I haven't gone forward, I'm going back. Okay, I should be better. Christians should always be better, and these trials are there to make us better. God, okay, and this is something that came up during our study series on faith so far, and it was just something that I think is really important for every Christian to know. But God will not tempt you above that which you were able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay, God will not tempt you above that which you are able. God was asking Abraham here something that we perceive to be extremely difficult. And it was probably in Abraham's eyes too. It's extremely difficult in my eyes. But what you have to remember is that Abraham had already been tested by God several times at this stage. He had been told to leave the land he knew and go into a strange land. He was told that you need to wait and I'm going to give you a son. And he did that. So he's being tested at several times at this stage. So at this point, God is giving him another trial, but he's only giving him a trial which he already knows that Abraham can do. You see, God already knows that Abraham can get through this trial if Abraham will put his trust in God and just do things God's way. He'll come through. So this trial was not above Abraham's ability. God knew that he was able to handle it. God knew that he was able to handle this trial. And God is always with us during the trials. We see that in Psalm 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay, so God is with each and every one of us when we go through these trials. So what I want to look at now is just some very quick points. It won't be a super long message tonight, I promise. It won't be a super long message, but I just want to look at some points that are hopefully practical, that can be applied to your daily Christian life, you know, can help us and can show us how we can stay faithful through trials. So just some practical points on how the Christian can stay faithful through the trials. And the first step of being faithful through the trials and staying faithful through the trials is actually keep obeying God. Just keep obeying God. If we look there in Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." So Abraham obeyed God. He rose up early and went to the place where God had told him to go. He wasn't questioning, he wasn't doubting, he just got up and went. He was good to go, he was going. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but he went anyway. So you can see here that Abraham obeyed God. And obedience is the key and the most critical part to any trial. Okay? If you're not obeying God, then you've already failed the test. Okay? You've already failed. If you stop obeying God, you've already failed the test. You're not going to get any further. It doesn't matter what you tried to do, you failed. God told you to do something, you didn't do it. Test over. Okay? You fail that test. But God wants obedience before anything else. You know, you can see here that in the Garden of Eden, he commanded Adam to not eat the fruit thereof. He didn't tell Adam, go worship me, bow down before me. He first gave Adam a rule and he said, obey me, do what I tell you. And once he obeyed, once he disobeyed him, that was Adam failing that test there straight away. You know? And obedience is an act of submission, and it's also the fruit of your love and trust in God. Alright? So to obey is to submit, is to put yourself under, is to come under the authority of someone else. So when God says do this, you're accepting that authority, you're humbling yourself and going, you're above me, do what you want me to do. But obedience is also the fruit of your love towards Jesus. So if you love him, then you'll obey him. You'll do what he says. It's a fruit of your love and trust in God. You know, if someone tells you to walk out there in front of that car's not going to hit you. And if you don't trust that person, you're not going to walk out in front of that car. Okay, so it's a fruit of your love and trust in God. If you want to come out on the other side of the trial as a better and stronger Christian, then you need to obey God and submit to his will. You need to come under him. Before you go any further in that trial, you need to just go, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to submit to you, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the end thereof, but I'm just going to obey you and do your will and go wherever you're leading me. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I believe that's the first step for any Christian in order to be faithful and to remain faithful through any trial that comes up in their life, is just to obey God, to keep obeying God. The second step is to keep worshiping God. Keep worshiping him. If we look in Genesis 22, verses 4 to 6, verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went at them together. So you can see here that in the midst of the trial, Abraham worshipped God. So you can see he first obeyed God. God told him, I want you to bring Isaac to this mountain where I'm going to tell you of. He went. He obeyed. And now after he's obeyed the first part, after he's actually submitted to God's will, and he's in the trial and he's following God's will, he now worships God. Okay, he now worships him. Through the trial, he worships him. After obedience comes worship. Okay, you have to obey first and then you worship God. There's no point in worshiping God first but if you haven't obeyed him. If you haven't obeyed him, you can't worship him. Okay, so worship is giving reverence and glory and praise to God because he's worth it. Okay, and it is evident from Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 3 to 5, that God be worshipped when he gives the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any false gods before me. Okay, God wants to be worshipped. You need to get away from the world and other distractions when you want to worship God. You can see here that Abraham said to the other young men, ye stay here, me and Isaac are going here to worship. We're getting away from anything that could possibly distract us, the donkeys, the guys, you know, maybe some work that might have to be done. They just wanted to get away and they're going over here to worship God. And this is a picture of the Christian. When you want to worship God, you need to get away from the world. You know, there's a lot of people that think that they can worship God in their home, okay? And you should worship God every day in your life, and you can worship God in your home. But when it comes to the assembling of ourselves together on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, okay, or Wednesday, or whenever, or any other time we gather together for that matter, that's where you go to worship. God has commanded us to not forsake the assembly prayers together. And church is for worshiping God. So here you can see Abraham, he's gone off to a different place. He's gone away from the distractions of the world so he can worship God properly because he can give his full attention to God. Okay, there's nothing distracting him. It's just him, Isaac, and God. And that's the way that our worship needs to be. Get away from the world. You know, it's very hard to worship God when the TV's on. It's very hard to worship God when you've got music playing in your ears. It's very hard to worship God when all of your friends hang around you. You need to separate. You need to get away and do what exactly what Abraham did here and just get away and move to somewhere where you can worship God. Okay, you need to be where God's going to be. That's where God is on a Sunday morning. He's in the church. God is here in the midst of two or three who are gathered in his name. So if you want to worship God, you need to go where he's going to be. He's going to be in church. You know, that's where you worship God. If you want to stay faithful through the trial, don't stop coming to church. All right? You know, there's many Christians that get discouraged. You know, they go through hard times, and I'm not doubting that, and I'm not belittling that. But the solutions they're trying, they're going in their own strength. They're trying to fix themselves. They stop coming to church. And then what happens is that trial goes on longer and longer, and their discouragement goes on and on, and the depression gets worse and worse, and things just get so much heavier on them. You know, Bible says to leave our heavy burdens. You know, cast all our heavy burden on him because he can carry it. And if you're going through a bad time, church is where you need to be. You know, church is where you need to be. You know, I wonder if he could have continued through this particular trial if he didn't go away first and worship God. Okay? I wonder if he could have kept going through this trial and actually bring Isaac up to an altar and get ready to kill him if he first hadn't went and got right with God and worshipped him. I just wonder, you know? You know, we need to give God the glory and the praise and the love that he deserves. And if we do that, if we worship him during the trial, if we give God that glory, and if we give God that praise, in the very time when we feel like everything's coming down on top of us, God will satisfy our needs. God will satisfy our needs. So the second step to staying faithful through the trials is keep worshiping God. The third step is to trust that God will provide a way out. Trust that God will provide a way out. If we look at verses 7 to 8, it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So you can see here that Isaac, okay, so Abraham's bringing Isaac. You know, Isaac is obeying his father. Abraham's obeying his father. And Isaac realizes there's a problem. You know, he realizes the problem. He's looking around. Okay, he's familiar with the practice of sacrificing to God. He's done it plenty of times. He knows that a lamb needs to be there. The lamb needs to be killed. But there's no lamb around. You know, this is pretty confusing for Isaac at this stage. You know, something probably even startling. You know, where's the lamb? What are we sacrificing? You know, and Isaac is trying to figure out the solution to the problem. And Abraham states pretty fervently here, just kind of states it straight away. He says, God will provide himself a lamb. And as Christians, we trust that God will provide a way out. Again, just like we see in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he'll make a way of escape. You know, he'll make a way of escape. So God will provide a way out. God wants to see us come through the trial. He doesn't want to see us to fail. God does not test us for us to fail. God tests us so we can come out to the other side better Christians because of it. He doesn't want to see us fail. You know, God was not testing Abraham here so that Abraham would fail and then he could just laugh at him or whatever. You know? No, he wanted Abraham to come closer to him, to draw closer to him. And through this trial and through the lessons that he'd learn and the sacrifice that he'd have to make, Abraham would then be closer to God because of it. And that's what God wants from the Christian, is to be closer to him. And trials will do that. But God doesn't want us to fail. God does not want us to fail, and that's why there's always a solution to the problem. But God has that solution, and we need to look for God for that solution. You can see here that Abraham said that God would provide himself the lamb. The lamb was the solution. God already had the plan in place. God already knew that he was going to provide a lamb so that the sacrifice could take place, and it wouldn't be Isaac. But Isaac was looking for the solution to the problem. You know, like, what are we going to What are we going to kill, Dad? You know, what are we going to do? You know, Abraham was looking to God for the solution. God will provide himself a lamb. You don't need to worry about it. So when you're in the trials, don't worry about trying to solve it yourself. Don't worry about trying to see the solution. Just trust in God and know that he has his solution. Okay, he has it. He will provide a way out of that trial for you. And the fourth step, okay, so that was the third step, that God will provide a way out. And the fourth step, to wait on God and persevere through the trial. Okay, so to wait on God, persevere through the trial. If we look here in Genesis 22, verses 9 to 14, we'll see just what Abraham did in this trial. So in verse 9 it says, "And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." So you can see here that even though, so Abraham obeyed God, he did what God told him to do. He went to the place where he's meant to sacrifice Isaac. He then worships God, even though he knows that he's going to have to put Isaac on the altar, and he doesn't know what's going to happen just yet. He doesn't know how God's going to work this out. He knows that he will, but he doesn't know how yet. And even though he realizes that God will provide a way out of this trial for me, he still had to wait on God to actually deliver on that. He still had to wait on that trial for God to show up. Okay, so Abraham, throughout this trial, Abraham waited on God to show up. He continued to push on through the trial, continued to push on through that hard time, and didn't give up. He didn't give up. Okay, the Christian's life is like a fight, the Bible says, you know, constantly facing struggles and opposition. You know, if you listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in his epistle to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, hold an eternal life whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses." And again, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." So Paul, an older Christian at the time, a wiser Christian, is trying to instruct Timothy, trying to train Timothy up, trying to disciple this new believer in Christ, this person that's going to be a pastor of this church here that he's leaving them at. And he's saying, you need to fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. You need to keep going. Don't give up. Second letter is saying, I fought my good fight. You know, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, and Paul went through many different trials and many different struggles. And he was someone who literally, I believe, applied each and every one of these steps in every single trial that he went through. He always obeyed God. He worshipped God through the trials. You know, when he was in the prison, he was singing. You know, who'd be singing in prison? But he was. You know, he got people around him singing that probably weren't even saved. You know, he trusted that God was way out for him. And he always pushed through the trials no matter what. You know, if he was given a mission by God, he said that this is my mission, this is God's mission, and I'll keep going no matter what. No matter what God tries to put in front of me to try and test me, I'm going to keep going. So sometimes we Christians give up too easily. You know, we do give up too easily. Like, you know, sometimes I'm at work, and these are not trials at all. But, you know, sometimes on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock, it feels like a trial at the time, you know, trying to get through this amount of work, and someone comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and I really don't want to listen to them at this hour in the morning, and I'm like, I can't handle this, and I leave or whatever. But you know, really, and even when we're going through like really difficult trials, you know, Christians give up way too easily. You know, modern day Christianity is weak compared to Christianity even 200, 300 years ago. You know, I'm pretty sure the likes of Charles Spurgeon went through much more difficult trials and testing times than we surely did. You know, I don't think we have to worry about getting stoned by anyone if you go knocking on a door. At least I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. You know, we can go into Cork City and, you know, hand out RU tracts to people. You know, they might say us a few bad words, you know, but we're not going to get stoned. You know, Paul was getting stoned all the time. He was getting big boulders chucked at him. He's getting whipped, you know, all just for the sake of the gospel. And, you know, I have to say that we have it easy. You know, we have it easy, especially in the Western world. You know, there's people like the Figalis who are, they have a bit more difficult in the Middle East. You know, it's very easy trying to go knock on a door and talking to some Catholic about Christ. It's another different thing going to try to talk to some Muslim or someone Islamic over in the Middle East, you know. You know, they actually might get stoned when they call to the door, when they knock on them. They've got different trials and more difficult trials than we do. But Christians in general give up too easy. We give up too easy. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And the word quit there doesn't mean to give up. It means to finish, to complete, to see something to its conclusion, to carry out until it's finished. Okay, so Christians should see things through completely to their conclusion. You know, God never said that the Christian life would be easy, but he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we see that in Hebrews 13:5. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you can see there that we've got these trials, we've got these testing periods in our life that are there to actually make us, not break us. They're there to make us better Christians. And it might seem difficult at the time when we're in them, but God is with you. God is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And that's something that the Christian needs to really get a grasp of and hold on to with every ounce of their being, is that God is in control of every situation. You know, you mightn't be in control. You might feel like everything's going out of control, but God's in control. He's allowed this to happen. And he knows that you can get through it. Okay? Any situation that appears in your life, no matter how bad you might think it is and how destructive things seem to appear, God has brought into your life because he knows you can handle it. And he wants you to come to the other side a better person because of it, a better Christian. So don't fear the trial, you know. Just do exactly what Abraham did here, what Paul and many other characters of the Bible, each one that's listed off in Hebrews chapter 11, all of did these things at one point or another. They obeyed God during the trials. They worshipped God during the trials. They trusted in God throughout the trials that he provided a way out. And that they persevered and kept going through the trial, kept pushing on. And as Christians, we're meant to keep pressing on. And we're meant to keep going and wait on God to show up so they can bless us. You know, if you continue reading here in chapter 22, you know, from verse 59, you can see that God then blesses Abraham because of his faithfulness through this trial. So Abraham waited for God to show up. He did. He provided a way out. And then after that, God blessed Abraham because of it. And God will bless you after your trial. If you come through the trial and you've been faithful, God will bless you. I don't know in what way, but he'll bless you. God will bless you. God will bless the Christian when we come through the trials. And, you know, it's a short message. I didn't want to go on any further. You know, and just you know, kind of a summary or to conclude, just, you know, keep in mind that trials will come. So you should be prepared for them. You know, it's not a maybe, it's not a might. They're going to come at some point. What type of trial? I don't know. But God has one lined up just for you. God has one trial right now he's thinking of just for you to see, you know, what stuff he can get rid of out of your life that can make you better. So he's got one. So just prepare for it ahead of time. And I firmly believe the best way to prepare for them is to be in God's word. Get prepared through God's word and you'll have the strength through God's word and through the knowledge of God's word to get through it. You'll be able to make the right decisions in those trials when you've got God's word in your heart already and in your mind. And God is always there with us during the trials. You know, don't think that you're on your own. You know, if you're a Christian, that's the exact opposite. You're never on your own. God is always with you. You know, if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Okay, so trials are there to perfect us and to refine us. They're to make us better Christians. You know, don't fear the trials. Don't be wary during the trials. You know, just look for God's strength to get through the trials, not your own, because you probably won't have any and you probably fail. But if you trust in God's strength and just put everything on his shoulders, he can take it. You'll get through the trials and you'll be better because of it. And God will only put you through a trial which he knows you can handle. Okay, he's not going to give you something that you can't handle at this very moment in time. There's a reason why God did not ask Abraham to kill Isaac, to offer Isaac as a sacrifice the day after he was born, because he knew he wouldn't be able to handle it. He wasn't ready for it then. You know, God brought that trial into his life when he was able for it. When he was able. And God's only going to bring something into your life at a time when he knows that you're able for it. Okay? When you, I'm sure you can look back on some of the trials, you know, your life back then. You might have went through a trial a few years ago. You might be going through a trial now, I'm not too sure. But, you know, if you look at your life, earlier parts of your life, you can look back and go, well, I'm thankful that the trial didn't come up then, because I definitely wouldn't have been able to handle it. You know, and that's what God is doing. He'll only bring something that you can handle at a particular point in your life. And to stay faithful through the trials, as Christians, we need to keep obeying God. We need to keep worshipping God. We need to always trust that God will provide a way out, a way of escape through the trial. And we need to just wait on God, simply wait on him and persevere, push on through the trial, so that we can be better Christians as a result of it.